All right, good evening. 6 o'clock on the dot. Looks like I'm more American than ever. Oh, man. Sorry about the joke. But if you knew me a little more about me, that's my struggle on time. All right, so we're going to start by opening the God's Word today with the Psalm of 103. I'm going to read those 13 of those verses. There's more to go. But we're going to read 13 verses, and then we're going to have a few minutes of sharing things that we're thankful for. And after that, we're going to transform those thankful items and things in two songs as we sing to God. So as we fill our hearts with His Word, and then as we proclaim His good deeds, and then we sing about it. So Psalm of 103, the Psalm of David, if you're with me, this is verse 1. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgression from us. As we read this psalm, part of the psalm, it's filled of joy, but also this is life transformation. This is our life. So as we get into this word, what is some things today that you were grateful for? What is some things today that we are praising God for? So I'm so grateful for God changed my life. You know, my brothers heard the same word, and they had a different outcome. But later on, a few of them got saved. But God preserved my youth, and I'm thankful for that. Who's next? Who else? You can just start speaking. Yeah.
Thank you for the use of prayer.
Yeah.
And thank you for His love, His mercy, and His grace. Thankful for His word.
Say those 40 years have been all good ones. I'm still in the Lord's hands.
I was mowing the grass today, and
I got this thought. How cool was that Rex was baptizing his son today? And then I was like, man, kind of like, I'm so happy for you guys. I said, man, this is the part where many of the church members of this church and other churches, you know, was faithful to the word, to share the gospel, to share this truth. So we are now, we're able to see his public decision. So it's just so cool that the church has so much involvement to the raising of a saint. So, yeah. So I'm thankful for all of you guys there at the nursery, at the Sunday schools, involved in my kids' life. You know, it's just, it's my responsibility to disciple them, but it's the church's responsibility to raise them and helping me, but also helping all of us that have kids. And so it's just so cool, the picture of the church on this. But here as we, some of us are not used to share things in public, but I want you to close your eyes and just share the three things that you were thankful to God for. And then after that, after a minute and a half or two, I will pray, and then we will stand and just sing two songs, okay? Heavenly Father, you are holy, and you are good, you're just, and you are righteous. God, thank you for your word. We know the power of your word, we know that this truth set us free, and we know that this truth is bearing fruit in many of us. And God, thank you for the opportunity to be together, reading your word, studying your word, but also bring praise to you together. God, thank you for Rex. Help him fill his spirit. Help us to be attentive to your word. Help us to be in tune of your will, with your will. And God, thank you so much for salvation, for justification, and for transformation. God, we are thankful for your work. We know that we did nothing for this, but God, we are so thankful for the Holy Spirit that is helping us to walk faithfully. And God, we ask you that your word help us today to add it to our walk with you. In Christ's name, amen. So if you stand, we're going to sing two hymns today. I need your help, because my wife is not with me, and I normally lean on her to sing. I normally play guitar, but when she's with me, I will sing, because I know that she's always right. All right, gonna sing song of a hymn of number two, Come Thou Fountain, and then hymn of number four, How Great Thou Art. See if it's the same. Yeah. So, Come Thou Fount, we're gonna sing verses 1 and 3. Okay. So, Come Thou Fount, and then Ode to Grace. Come Thou Fount. Mercy never ceasing, all for song. 1, verse 3 and 4. Of course, the chorus every time.
Good evening. Good to be with you again. I was joking with Pastor last week. I thought I was preaching Sunday morning when I preached last time. I thought I was preaching this morning. He said, no, Sunday night. I was like, okay, all right. Very good. So if you were here a couple weeks ago, I preached from 2 Samuel 12, where we saw David and Bathsheba in the scene and the situation episode that unfolds throughout that part of David's story. And tonight we're going to be in something, we looked briefly during that sermon at Psalm 51, but we're going to look at sort of a, what we might say is a paired psalm to that one. It's Psalm 32 this evening. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 32, that's where we'll be. And one of my students, actually, I taught preaching at Tri-State this past semester, and one of the passages that they had to preach on was Psalm 32. And one of my students, Bryce Simonis, who goes to Shawnee Hills Baptist Church, used this story to open his sermon, so I'm completely borrowing it or stealing it from him. But there was this lady, older lady, faithful Christian lady who had lived faithfully for a long time, and a younger Christian was asking her some questions about, you know, what do you do when the devil attacks you or reminds you of your sins? And she says, "Well, I just send him all the way to the east. You know, I just say, you know, get away from me, and go all the way to the east. So what do you do when he comes back?" I said, "Well, just go all the way to the west." And we read this in Psalm 103, verse 12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." And so she just had this habit of, my sin, if you traverse as far as the east is from the west, that's how far away my sins are from you. You have no accusation against me anymore. And as we come to Psalm 32, we're coming to a psalm that is called a maskil. Now, we don't know exactly what a maskil is. Some of these words at the front end of the psalm that describe the kind of music or the kind of poetry that it is, those are rare Hebrew words, and we don't always know exactly what they mean. You kind of see that in your little Bible study notes throughout your copy of the Psalms. But we think this one means something like either a skillful song or a song that instructs, a didactic song. So it's a song written to teach. And that's the way that I take it. And I take that because of what we see in verse 8. So I think David is teaching us something in this psalm. So it is a song, or a poem in some way, meant to be sang, but it's also something that's supposed to teach us something. And so as we think about David and the sin of David with Bathsheba and Uriah and Nathan confronting him and all that, we think that Psalm 51, because it tells us this, was written, you know, very close in proximity to that confrontation. Psalm 32 seems to be maybe, we're not so sure, connected to that, but we don't know like what the time frame is like we do with Psalm 51. There's a little bit of mystery there. It seems to have been written later than Psalm 51, so let's just leave it at that. It's written later, and so for that reason, I think we get a need and an idea here from the text, and that's this. The need is to find forgiveness of sins before it's too late. He's going to talk about that in verses 6 and 7 about, you know, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. You know, don't wait too long to find forgiveness. It's there. It's right there. But don't wait too long. So that's the need, and David personally experienced this. He needed to not wait. You know, David could have ignored Nathan's confrontation. He could have just kept going and not confessed his sin, but he didn't. He found forgiveness at the right time. And so I think what David has found is a lasting joy, the lasting joy of sins forgiven by God. And so he wants to, with this psalm, instruct others in finding forgiveness. So as we read the text, here's kind of a summary idea, and it's this, that David experienced lasting joy in God's forgiveness and became the sinner's instructor. And so I say lasting joy because this psalm is written later, okay? And so the forgiveness that he experienced for those very heavy-handed sins of his, that forgiveness brought a joy that lasted. It didn't fade over time. It kept being ever present for him, as we see in the psalm. So that he now is saying, other people need to know this. I need to instruct others in this joy, this lasting, unfading joy that comes from knowing that your sins are forgiven. And so that's the idea. He experienced this joy, and now he wants to become an instructor in this joy. So let's read the text, and then we'll go through it. So Psalm 32, a maskil of David. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. And so we're going to break this down into six different transitions in the psalm, and then we'll come back and talk about how do we apply this to our lives. And what we really want to walk away with is this primary message. We want to be people who spread the lasting joy of sins forgiven. I mean, that's the message tonight. Spread the lasting joy of sins forgiven. People are looking for happiness. Actually, preachers do things to kind of like illustrate around the principle that they're teaching. And there was a World Happiness Report. Do you know this? There's a World Happiness Report done every year. Well, the USA moved from 15th happiest country in the world to the 23rd happiest country in the world from 2023 to 2024. And you know, you can read the survey and find out why that is, why people think that is anyway. But happiness is something people care a lot about. People use their whole lives, their treasures, their time, their relationships just to be happy or to find it. But David has placed happiness in something that we typically don't associate with happiness, and that is forgiveness. So in verses 1 and 2, we see that we should give thanks, and that he gives thanks, David does, for God's mercy. He says, blessed is the one, and let's stop there for a second. So somebody's blessed, okay? This person that he's speaking about is blessed, and that word means being in a state, a condition of happiness. All right, that's what it means here. Being in a state or condition of happiness. So this person's happy. Okay. And then he's going to tell us why this person's happy. Now there are other words used for blessed in the Old Testament. Barak. This isn't Barak. Barak's a verb. But it means to be endowed. It means blessed. It's translated blessed oftentimes because it means to be endowed with strength. And in having that endowment, one is filled with blessing or happiness, okay? But here, it's talking more about not an action that on you, it's more of the state in which you live because of past happenings. So here, this one has found a state or a condition of happiness. Why? Well, he's going to tell us. Whose transgression is forgiven. First, the one who gives thanks for happiness, David's giving thanks for his happy condition because his law-breaking's been forgiven. He had broken God's law in gross and severe ways. And he's happy because that's been forgiven. And he adds to it, And he's really saying the same thing twice here. Whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Whose sin is covered. And so he's saying it in two ways. He's saying, well, my law breaking has been taken away. East is from the west. And my shortcomings, my missing the mark, my sins have been covered over, passed up. When you remember, if you remember back to 2 Samuel, Nathan tells David that the Lord has passed over your sins. And so he's happy, right? I mean, he is happy that this is true of him. He's forgiven. His sins are covered. He goes on and says it a different way, but he maintains this. He's giving thanks because he's happy. He's found God's mercy. Verse 2, blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. So he's kind of articulated in a positive way up in the first verse, and then more of a negative, against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. The Lord has every right to count my sins against me, my iniquities against me. But he doesn't. And so I'm happy. The Lord hasn't counted my iniquitous sins against me, my iniquity. And in whose spirit there is no deceit. So he goes a little deeper. So this man is happy because the Lord hasn't counted against him what the Lord could count against him, rightfully. But the man is also happy because honesty has come in about sin and not deception. So he means it. When he repented, when he confessed, it was true. When David, if we go back to 2 Samuel 12 and we read the words, I have sinned against the Lord. Well, did he mean it or did he not? Well, what he's writing in his Psalm 51, Psalm 32, seems to indicate that he really meant it. There was no deceit. It wasn't a deceptive confession, a fake confession. He really meant it. He really is happy. He really is joyful in the reality that his sins have been forgiven, his iniquities haven't been counted against him, and his transgressions have been taken away. And so he starts off the psalm with giving thanks. He's giving thanks about his own experience. Now he goes a little bit deeper into his experience. He explains why. He's explaining the background now. How did I get to this blessed condition? How did I get to this happy state? Well, verse 3, he's going to unfold the confession to the Lord. And he's going to do this by explaining two things. First in verse 3, then in verse 4, he's going to explain something else. In verse 3, he explains, when I kept silent, that is when he was living in a state of deception, when he was living in a state of hiddenness about his sin, for when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. He's saying that my unconfessed sin, my hidden sin, had a physical effect on my body. Brothers and sisters, this is where, and remember, David is a follower of God. We are talking about people in the faith community here as we're having this conversation. We could have a conversation about the forgiveness of sins for someone in the world who's lost, but tonight we're talking about the forgiveness, the joy of forgiven sin for those who are already in the household of God, as David was. And David is saying, when I was hiding my sin, my body was affected. My physical body became affected. I don't know. I mean, we have folks who have been believers for a long time in the room and others who have maybe been believers for just a short period of time. Has anyone experienced this before? Where hidden sin affected, it made you sick, physically sick. Your body groaned. I have. When I was a new Christian and still learning what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, I had some sin that came with me into my early Christian life. And some of those sins went away fast, and others lingered. and God was slow to anger and gracious with me. But there came a point where one of them lingered too long, and my body started wasting. This is exactly how I would describe it. My bones wasted away. At 20 years old, I had to go and have a colonoscopy. I had bleeding. I had ulcers. I had a physical effect on my body because of unconfessed sin. And I'm not kidding that when I came clean with the Lord and when I got that sin out of my life, I started to heal. Now, there are ongoing consequences, right, for things like that. But I've started to feel better, and today I would say I'm pretty healed of all of those things. And so he's saying, think of this time period for David, right? So he sinned against Uriah and Bathsheba, and then she was pregnant, right? And how long was it before Nathan confronted him? Months? There's like a 9-month period that we can work with here because we know the child was born later. But so we're talking about months of hidden sin. You know, how long? I don't know exactly, but a time period where his bones were wasting away. So he explains, like, how did I get to this happiness? Well, let me tell you how I got here. There was a time when my body was affected by hidden sin. And in verse 4, he explains, he goes on, for day and night, like, why was my body affected? He puts it on the Lord. The Lord was doing this. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up by the heat of summer. As by the heat of summer. And so he says, this effect on me was coming from you. Now, we know, we could turn there, but we know in Hebrews 12 that why is it that the Father chastises us? What does anybody know?
Because he loves us.
We're his children, right? If we weren't chastised, then we should be worried, right? But this is the Lord loving David, making his body feel. And you could think of it as like a wine press or an olive press. God is pressing on David so that confession will come out. Right? I mean, this is what he's doing. Day and night, his hand was heavy upon him. His strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I mean, think of a dry, arid summer, parched. And that's how David's body felt, and it was from the Lord. And so David gave thanks for God's mercy. Then he tells the story of what led him to confession of sin. And then in verse 5, he receives forgiveness. Verse 5 says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the sin, or the iniquity of my sin. And so he moves from the chastisement to the response to the chastisement. I acknowledged. I agreed. I acknowledged my sin to you. I stopped hiding. I did not cover my iniquity. And he came to a sense, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. And it sounds very similar to what he said to Nathan. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And so what is it that freed him from the heavy hand? What is it that freed him from the chastisement? It was confessing, acknowledging, no longer covering his sin. But connect it back up to the top. Why is he so happy? Well, he's happy because the Lord chastised him until the point where he acknowledged his sin. That's how he got happy. That's how he became happy. And so he goes on now. There's a real clear transition now in verse 6 where he's told his story in the first half of the psalm. In the second half of the psalm, he's going to turn and do something with his story. And that is, he wants to implore others He wants to implore you and me and any reader or hearer of the psalm to seek mercy from God. And that's what he does. He says, therefore. So he's connecting it to his blessing, to his chastisement, to his confession. Therefore, let everyone who is godly. You mean godly people sin and hide their sin and need chastisement? Yeah. Yeah. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. What's the message there? Don't wait. Don't wait. If you remember, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Don't wait. Don't wait. Offer prayer to the Lord at a time when he may be found. Don't hide, but find a hiding place. Here we go. Here's what he says next. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. You know, the rush of waters, it's hard to know. They won't reach the Lord. They won't reach the one protected by the Lord. It's hard to see who the referent is there, but you get the picture. They're not going to affect the Lord, obviously, the rush of waters, and they're not going to affect the one who finds hiding in the Lord. And so he goes on to talk about that God is a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. So when we sin, when we've been chastised, when we confess, offer the prayer, find God, find his forgiveness, find a hiding place. Now you think of David's life. I mean, there were consequences that came from his sins that he could not reverse. There are things that happened. But it doesn't mean that he couldn't still enjoy the grace of God in the midst of those things. And that's what he's talking about here. There are still rushing waters associated, you know, the ripples, right? When you throw the thing in the pond, the ripples go. You can't stop the ripples. But you can find a hiding place in God and experience his grace in this new normal after the fact. And so there's a song by Mercy Me that talks about today is the first day of the rest of your life, right? Find forgiveness now while you can. Believer. He's talking to someone who already believes in God. Don't linger in hiding your sin and unforgiven and unconfessed sin. So he says, you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. There's a joy that comes from being forgiven. So he's imploring others. Let everyone who's godly find this. Find the hiding place. Find God in the time of need. And then he goes even further. He's not just imploring others to find this mercy, but now he's going to instruct. Now this is a part of the psalm where, oh, I wanted to read one thing before I move on. I forgot about this. I got this big book here. This is a single volume commentary on the whole Bible written by some old guys that are not alive anymore. But you can see it later if you want to. But in verse 6, these writers comment with a really powerful comment about verse 6, about offering the prayer. It's one real short sentence. It says, when God's Spirit inclines us to seek pardon, he's ready to forgive. I thought that was a really powerful statement. When God's Spirit has moved you to the place where you're ready to confess, please know that God is standing there ready to forgive. He's right there, ready, with all the resources he needs to forgive you because of what Jesus has done. Because of what Jesus has done. And so now David moves in verses 8 and 9, he transitions here. So he's implored, you know, seek the Lord for mercy while you can. And then in verses 8 and 9, he's becoming an instructor. The sinner has become the teacher. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. Now, some people see this as the Lord sort of talking in the psalm at this point, that God is saying, I will instruct you, David, teach you, David. I see how you could take it that way, but I really think that this is David still growing here in the psalm. I think David has become now a teacher to those who have hidden sin, saying, let me teach you. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Remember, David had lots of sons. He had lots of children. There were lots of people that he could be teaching and instructing, let alone being the king of Israel. So I will instruct you and teach you about what? About happiness. That's what this psalm is about. About joy. Joy. How do I find joy? Knowing that your sins are forgiven. And living in that reality every day. In that joy. Let me instruct you in this. Let me teach you in this way. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And then he gives another instruction. Be not like the horse or mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. So don't be like the mule or the horse. Don't be like an animal that has to have a bit in its mouth to be told this, go this way or that way. Don't be stubborn. Don't continue to, when we're thinking in the context of this psalm, you know, you think of David when he was confronted about his sin by the prophet. Well, you have a decision to make when you're confronted, right? Anybody been confronted before? You have a decision. Either I will humble myself to the confrontation and the need for me to confess my sin, or I'm a horse or a mule, right? I mean, it's one or the other. Either I'm going to humble myself, or you're going to have to put the bit in my mouth. I'm not going. And this is where, you know, for David, he experienced a little bit of that. Because why? Because his bones wasted away, right? There was a period in which he was like the mule or the horse. But then he did come clean. But what David is saying in his instruction is, don't be like that. Humble yourself and go the way that you should go. Find the Lord in the time that you have. And so finally, in the last couple verses there, he talks about lingering in the gladness of the one who's been forgiven, the lingering gladness of the one who's been forgiven. He says in verse 10, many are the sorrows of the wicked. Many are the sorrows of the wicked. Wickedness accumulates sadness. Just keeps building and building and building and building. Has an accumulating effect. And I mean, you think of the really what is just a short time for David. We're talking months. We're not talking years here of hidden sin, right? Some period within, you know, shorter than 9 months. And he knows about the sorrows associated with wickedness. You and I could have a coffee conversation about sorrows associated with wickedness in our own lives, in our family's lives, or, you know, in things that we've experienced in our country. You know, we could talk about these. There's many sorrows associated with wickedness. But contrast, here's the difference. Steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. The one who trusts in the Lord has entered into a relationship where you always and forever have access to a covenant-keeping God who's loyal. He's loyal, he's loyal, he's loyal. His love is loyal. And that is what you have access to. You have this contrast of the sorrows of the wicked. They never end. They just keep accumulating. And they have a final destination. But the one who has entered in relationship with the Lord, who trusts the Lord, is surrounded by steadfast love, a covenant-keeping love, a love that causes him to put his heavy hand on you, to draw a confession out of you, to draw you back into fellowship with him, and give you joy and happiness that endures. And so he concludes with this verse, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Listen to the words there. Be glad, rejoice, shout for joy. And this connects back up to verse 1. Blessed, blessed. Happy are the ones who have had their transgression forgiven, their sins covered, against whom the Lord doesn't count iniquity, and who does not have deceit in his heart, his or her heart. And so there's a lingering gladness for those who have been forgiven and who are in relationship with the Lord. So the tension, here's the tension. And we could go through other things in the Bible that cause us happiness, right? We could look at God's providence. We could look at we could take up the theme of God's truth and His Word causing us gladness. We could take God Himself causes it glad. But this text specifically is about His forgiveness causing us happiness. Okay. So the tension for us is, we pursue happiness probably every day. Happiness is probably something we pursue every single day. Yeah? Kids? Yes? I mean, we wake up and we think, man, I need to be happy today. Right? We just have these, what? Or we think of, this is going to make me happy today. Or we look at our adults, we look at our calendar, oh, that meeting's not going to make me happy today. But we're always pursuing happiness. And what this psalm is saying is that there is something that will stir your heart to happiness every single day. It's remembering that you have a God who forgives. Fully and finally forgives. Forgives all your transgressions. That should be something every day that we call to remembrance that, God, my sins are forgiven today. There's a lot of things that could happen. But what's true, this state or condition I live in, is that my sins are forgiven. So that's a tension. We're pursuing happiness sometimes in, first of all, we have this pursuit of happiness, and sometimes we pursue it in the wrong places. So a truth to go with that is that peace with God brings lasting joy. Peace with God brings lasting joy. And so we want to recover the value of this forgiveness in our daily lives today. We want to recover the value. Maybe we need to dust it off. Maybe forgiveness, the power of it, the happiness that comes from it, has lost its shine in your life. So dust that off. Read Psalm 32. Pray through it. And recover the value of forgiveness. So the message I want you to leave with, though, is to go just a little bit further with it, okay? Spread the lasting joy of sins forgiven. I hope that as a result of this message that we don't just find happiness ourselves in the forgiveness of sins, but that we become contagious, right? People are looking for happiness, right? People around you and me are looking for happiness. And tonight, we've heard that there's one sure place among many others in Scripture that you can find happiness. It's in being forgiven, knowing a God who forgives sin. So what can you do to spread the lasting joy of sins forgiven? What can you do to spread the lasting joy of sins forgiven? All right, well, first, if you have unforgiven sin, right, let's take step number one. and you're being chastised, let's get right with God. Number one, okay? Let's get right with God. Let's move on. Let's say you are right with God, okay? What can you do to spread the lasting joy of sins forgiven? Here's another idea. How does the Lord's Prayer go? Forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Depends on your version, right? So what's the practice of spreading the joy of forgiveness? Lord, forgive me, but then help me to what? Say it loud. Forgive others. So if you want your joy and forgiveness to be contagious, you've got to forgive other people. Oh, now, forgiveness and reconciliation are two different things, okay? Forgiveness is I come to a place or a condition where I'm able to not hold sin against them anymore, okay? I'm not going to count their iniquity against them. Reconciliation is, what work do we have to do to make peace in our relationship? That's step. There are steps to that. But we're just talking about forgiveness tonight. That's step one of reconciliation, right? So, forgive others. How do I spread the lasting joy of sins forgiven? Make sure that I'm right with God. Forgive the sins of others. And then, number three, show others how to be reconciled to God, right? We're talking about evangelism here. So there's a make sure I'm right with God, a personal relationship with God. And then there's, in my relationships with my brothers and sisters, do I need to forgive or be forgiven, right? You know, we have the Lord's Supper once a month here. And I hope that we all know that before we take of that supper, we should probably make sure that our relationships are right here. And then third, so make sure my relationships are right here, and then right out there. How do I make people right out there? People need to be reconciled to God so that they can be happy. they can find the happiness associated with sins forgiven. So spread the lasting joy of sins forgiven. Spread the lasting joy of sins forgiven. Six weeks before he died, a reporter asked Elvis Presley, "Elvis, when you first started playing music, you said you wanted to be rich, famous, and happy. Are you happy?" I can't give the whole reply, but most of what he said is, "I'm lonely, very lonely." People are looking for happiness in all sorts of places. Christians, we know one very specific place in which it gives lasting happiness, and that is being forgiven. Knowing the God who forgives, knowing the God who casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. And that brings lasting joy and happiness to our lives. Let me pray. Our Father, thank you so much for this time in your word. Thank you for this psalm. Thank you for thousands of years ago working in a king's life in such a way that you confronted really serious and severe sins. And out of that experience, he wrote words that you inspired, and they are still changing our lives today. They're still teaching us. He's still instructing, even though David's been dead for a long time. He's still doing what he had hoped to do. I will instruct others and teach them the way to go about finding joy in the forgiveness of sins, and we're learning tonight. Help us to be contagious Christians when it comes to this happiness and forgiveness, this lasting joy. Help us to be right with you, to be right with our brothers and sisters, and to help others out in the world who are lost and looking for happiness and pursuing it with all their money and their resources and their time, and using up relationships to try to find happiness. Help us to help them find it in Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. One of the hardest things to say is, I was wrong. So if you want to see the example of David's prayer, just read tonight the Psalm that Rex mentioned, 51. He goes through the process that he took to find everlasting joy. And it took confession and took plea to God to wash me, cleanse me, but also God create on me a spirit that is pure. So praise God that he forgives. Praise God that he doesn't hold our sins against us. And praise God for Christ, that his work and his deeds were finished, and it's good. Rex is leaving tomorrow. Is that right?
Yeah.
You want to mention on anything? How many weeks are you staying?
Yeah, so I'm heading to Scotland tomorrow. Well, I'm heading to New York, then to Scotland for a bit, then England for a bit. I'll be going about 4 weeks. So pray for all of us. It's a lot on Amy as well and the kids. I'll be attending to some of my doctoral studies requirements there, and then working on my dissertation while I'm there. And in particular, there's a supervisor issue that I have to get some answers on with some changes that are coming in the fall. I appreciate your specific prayers about God helping me in that.
So pray for Rex's studies and script, but also for Amy's sanity, is that right? So anyone, Ed, would you pray for Rex?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and Amy?
Father, as we think about the things that Rex talked about tonight, our list of things to be thankful for should be very, very long. When we think what's happening around your world, whether that is Brazil or Africa or the Middle East or Europe, there are a lot of suffering people. And Father, our confidence and knowledge is in you, knowing you are the sovereign God, and you have a plan whether we understand it or not. So we're thankful for Rex and his family. And Father, we pray tonight for his uplifting and his family's uplifting, his safety, his success in these ventures that he needs to undertake. Father, what an exciting thing to think about when we're thinking about the kind of research that he's doing. Because, Father, he loves you and he knows who you are. He knows that you love him and his family and we love them. We want to be able to take care of their every need. Because, Father, we love them. One of the things on our list of things to be thankful for would be this whole congregation and the way you have worked in Leadersburg Baptist Church, where we can love one another and come alongside one another. So we lift this family tonight to you in all of these endeavors in Jesus' name.
The second prayer request I had is our church has the joy of have older folks. I was so blessed with Willerstall in Brazil, a missionary of 93 years old, that every Friday morning he would say, "Hey, come to my house, we're going to play chess, and then we're going to read the Word." And he taught me so much through being faithful to God's Word. But we all know someone that is suffering and have illness and in body and in pain. So I know two men this week is going to, one is doing surgery, another one is doing a heart exam. So I didn't get their permission to say their names, but I know that there's more people also, Bud, Rashma, that need some prayers. So can I have Austin, would you pray for them?
Sure. Heavenly Father, love you. Thank you for this local body that you've allowed to gather here at Wilbur Baptist. Lord God, we're reminded that we live in a fallen world, and God, there are still sickness and illness that goes around. Lord God, I'm thankful for this body as we lift our brothers and sisters up who are going through these times, that we can get involved in their lives, and we can show them love and compassion, and we can be humble in coming to them and showing the love that you've shown us. Lord God, we know that in all these things, you are working for the good of your people, those that have been called according to your purposes. And God, we pray over those things that the individuals that are going through whatever it is that comes up in the week in this body, they would rest assured that your plan is better than whatever they have planned for their lives. And we can rest knowing that sovereign God is at the will and has complete control over his creation. Lord God, I'm again just so thankful for the love and compassion and kindness of the members of this local body. And God, I pray that we would continue to walk faithfully into these things and put on the love that you've shown us by the life of your Son, Jesus. Lord God, just thank you in your Son's name that I pray.
And then lastly, we are surrounded by children every Sunday, and we all know that they are a blessing from God, but also we're concerned about their salvation, and we know how blessed it is to have a child being saved at a young age, and how good is that. So keep praying for our children. But I'll ask Barb, would you pray for our children?
Thank you that we call you Father. And we are your children, and we love us more dearly. And Lord, we love our children. And we so long to see each and every one of them come to know you. Lord, just please work in their lives, work in their parents' lives. Help them to come to understand their need for you. And just answer that need, Lord, when they call out to you. And we just will rejoice forever and forever with these children that we've prayed for, and you have answered that prayer and brought them to yourself. And they'll be with us forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Does anyone else has a prayer request before we... All right, so I have not a prayer request, but as Matt announced, that I'm doing a new Sunday school class on world religion. So I'm in need of a few teachers. If you'd like to be involved, I have the material. Or if you'd like to do a research on certain religion, I have a list of religions that we will be studying this summer through our Sunday school downstairs. So if nobody has anything to say, thank you for coming, and have a great week.